Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Hope you're having a great day. Well, I'm going to make a statement, and you let me know if you think it's true. If you wait long enough, difficult, traumatic experiences from your past will just go on their way, go away on their own, right? Said no one ever. Well, today my guest is Allison Bakke. She joins me to talk about her very important book. Wow, I wanted to spend more time in my office with the book, but it was time to come in and talk with Allison, which is, of course, better. But this is a fantastic book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories, How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. And I'm not taking calls today. I want to give Allison as much time as possible to unpack the content of this great book. But we do have 3 giveaway copies, thanks to Harvest House. So this is how we do it. If you listen often enough, you know the drill, right? Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember that mailing address, and I will draw 3 names, and hopefully you'll get it in your mailbox within the next week for sure. All right. Well, a couple quick announcements before we hear from Allison. We are growing. Faith Radio is growing. Thanks be to God, and thanks to you and your generous gifts. We appreciate it so much. So I just want to give a shout out because we've got new friends listening in a lot of our markets, 94.1 FM in Hartford. If you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, we say welcome. Also to you, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, one of the 2 FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 or 97.5 FM in the Twin Cities, or maybe you're streaming online. No matter where you're listening from, if you're brand new to Live the Promise, we have a tradition on the show here that we'd just love to hear from you. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and tell me that you're new. Tell me where you're listening from, and we all always draw a couple of names every week when we get those new emails, and we'll pick some books off of our Faith Radio shelf, send you some treats, and a note as our way of saying, welcome to the family. So glad to have you listening. Well, my guest today asked this thought-provoking question. I want you to listen in because this is such an important conversation we have ahead of us. How do we identify all the emotional junk that we hang on to? Junk that can't be seen by the naked eye. And dig ourselves out from under years of accumulated emotional, psychological, and spiritual pain that has broken our hearts. How do we learn to set healthy boundaries with our negative thoughts and emotions when we've spent years both hanging on to our painful memories and hoarding our hurts? Well, that's what we'll explore in this next hour. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Allison Bakke is a best-selling inspirational author and speaker. Her international outreach includes over 30-plus published nonfiction and fiction books, including the acclaimed God Allows U-Turns compilation series and the God Answers Prayer series, the best-selling award-winning Setting Boundaries series from Harvest House Publishers, of which this book we're talking about today is one. Allison, it's been too long. Welcome back to the program.
Well, it has been too long, Susie. It's always good to chat with you, so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations on another great book, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I had no idea that I would end up writing a series on boundaries, being one of the most boundary-challenged humans I know.
This is the thing, is God loves to use those of us who are weak to shame the strong, so praise God for that. But, you know, we love to start out by talking scripture, Allison. I'm wondering if you've just been camping on a verse these days, pondering one, or do you have a life verse that you can share with us?
I have a life verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That's all about boundaries. The old can go away no matter how many mistakes we made, no matter what horrible things happen to us. A new creation is possible. God has given us that.
Indeed. Well, for those, it's been a couple of years, and for friends who've not heard your backstory, would you give us backstory so people have context of what you're talking about in this Setting Boundaries book?
I wrote the first Setting Boundaries book just based on my relationship with my adult son. I had been a horribly enabling parent, and when I had that wisdom, when God gave me that discernment wisdom, that I was enabling, I was handicapping and not helping my adult son, I started a journey of learning what it meant to set healthy boundaries. And I wrote, I had a drug addicted son. My son was a heroin addict for many years, in and out of jail, in and out of prison. And I was in and out of his drama, chaos, and crisis year after year after year. So as I walked that journey of learning what it meant to set healthy boundaries, to step back, to start living my life and stop trying to control and live my son's life, amazing things began to happen. And I wrote that one book as just an individual, it's all by itself, and now it's become, there's seven of them in that series. As I, you know, as God's impressed it on my heart that we are all boundary challenged in some ways. You know, it's very hard to learn how to say yes and no in healthy ways. And, you know, and so we're picking up the pieces, you know, and I spent a lot of years picking up the pieces of this relationship with my son. And it didn't work. A lot of the things I was doing wasn't working, or weren't working. So that's in a nutshell how this boundary series came to be. Is that what you asked me, though?
No, you know, I appreciate that, because it's good to have that context. But even in this book, you go back to your childhood, which is really what I would like you to do, because talk about negative thoughts and painful memories. I just want people to know that you've got some credibility because of what you've lived through.
Well, I came from a place of non-belief for most of my life. I didn't come to know the Lord until I was in my mid-30s, and I wandered into that new age spirituality path. I was, you know, all over the place and trying to fill all the empty places in my heart and soul with, you know, everything but God. I'd run away from home when I was 15 years old. I married a man whose abuse almost killed me. So I was 16 years old, divorced, and a mother. And at that point in time, and alone without faith, you know, I was trying to navigate my own course. And, you know, it's hard enough to navigate your course as a single mom, but a single mom who's a teenager and having experienced, you know, tremendous abuse at the hands of my husband, I was an emotional mess, spiritual mess, psychological mess, and I, you know, went into this relationship as a mom and with my son in trying to, you know, be the best mom I could be and provide him with all the things he needed and everything that I didn't have. And I just, you know, I became obsessed with controlling and fixing his life and making his life perfect and just forgetting, you know, all about the damage that I had. And you know, this is the thing, Susie, you know, sadly, bad stuff happens to good people. You know, no matter how, you know, how hard we try to put it behind us, you know, we're forever changed by that experience. And I was forever changed by what had happened to me in that marriage. And then the choices I made year after year after year after that. You know, and it just, it was hard for me to make that connection that the mess I was in, you know, in my present had a whole lot to do with the misery I was in my past. And not just the marriage, but I had experienced horrible abuse as a young toddler at the hands of a foster parent. So I was, you know, I had buried a lot of stuff. There was just a lot of, and a lot of us have. You know, there's a lot of, I say this often, there's a lot of grown-up women out there with broken-hearted, you know, broken little girl hearts.
And men and, with and, wounded
and, you're right, young men. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But we keep on, and in the Christian lifestyle, they're saying, you know, we're supposed to, you know, when we become Christians and we trust in the Lord, we're supposed to all of a sudden have this view that, you know, everything is wonderful and now I'm saved and, you know, it just doesn't quite work like that. You know, there's still a lot going on, and that childhood chaos drives a lot of us. It motivates us. And that's what this whole entire book it was about, was really the what is motivating us, what's underlying and all that. So I think that was my nutshell life. I don't know if I got all that.
No,
there,
I appreciate it.
I came from a lot of brokenness, a lot of brokenness.
And you write this: while my relationship with the Lord has brought healing and hope to my life, it's impossible to deny that many of my traumatic life experiences have left lasting impressions on my heart and imprints of painful memories on my brain. Say a bit more about that, because I think that honest admission is so important for many listening today who feel like, okay, I'm a believer, so this should all have gone away. This should have all been fixed. I'm not fixed yet. And because people feel so isolated with those feelings, not knowing that everybody feels like that to some degree, they may hide, as you say, hoard, and then they don't get healed. So say more about just how God has brought healing to your life and what that process has looked like.
Well, and I was watching a television program on TV about hoarders. You know, I don't think any of us could possibly have missed this over the years. Those shows where you just find yourself staring at that, you know, with your jaw, you know, agape, looking at this, thinking, "Oh my gosh, do people really live that way?" And it got me thinking. You know, God just laid that on my heart that this is how some of us are with our own pain. We hoard it. We hang on to it. There's layers and layers of it. And you know, when watching that show, I watched these great psychological, you know, professionals, these therapists, walk these people through all this physical stuff they were hanging on to. And I started, you know, asking myself, okay, what kind of mental stuff am I hanging on to? What in my mind and in my heart have I not been able to throw away? What am I really, I'm just living this life internally like these hoarders are living it externally. You know, there's things that are buried that we just have to, you know, peel back. And no amount of ignoring it is going to make it go away. And you know, it's, and then the negative thoughts that, you know, kind of pile onto that. There's such stigma involved in this, Susie, because a lot of this is, these are mental and emotional challenges. It's how we are relating to people. It's how, you know, it's how I learned or didn't learn to relate to people. And you know, and that stigma of the things that we're covering up, you know, the anxiety, the stress, the things that happen to us when we have divorce or domestic violence or, you know, adult children issues or addictions, all of that, the abuse. I've had more than one abortion as a young girl, and I had all this guilt and angst and anger that was just. And yet, you know, I became this Christian and loved my life. I loved the Lord. I loved what was happening in my life, but, you know, there were triggers that just kept bringing up things in the past and ways I was responding to people in the present that had a whole lot to do with, you know, with how I responded to things in the past. So it's all so interconnected. And as, you know, walking this new life as a Christian in my 30s, you know, I was looking and observing these, you know, fellow believers who, you know, kept saying, gosh, everything is wonderful now. I'm a believer. You know, life is great. And I thought, gosh, am I just not a really good believer? Don't I believe enough or the right way? Because everything isn't great.
We're gonna pause
life
you.
Isn't perfect.
Yeah, I so appreciate you saying that. We have to pause here for a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what are some practical steps we can take to process and navigate through negative thoughts and painful memories. Talking to Allison Bakke today, title of her book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories, How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. This might be a word for you today. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. Love that song. There's nothing like his love. Such a good song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Allison Bakke about setting boundaries with negative thoughts and painful memories. In fact, we've got three copies of her book under that title. Email if you'd like a copy, if you want to in on the drawing, I should say, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I want you to remember, healing is possible. God wants to flourish you. He wants you to flourish. In fact, the Bible says he came to destroy the works of the devil. And we have so much stuff buried beneath the surface. And when it surfaces, we don't like it. So we numb out, we stuff it down, we make excuses, we point to somebody else's stuff. But I just really believe God allows things to surface because he wants to redeem them. He wants to heal us. And before the break, Allison, you're giving this backstory of just where you'd come from and the incredible hurts as a toddler, then as a young teen, as a young teenage mom and wife, an abusive relationship. And so even now you jump ahead, you're this Christian and you're enjoying parts of your life. You're seeing triggers and things that are surfacing for you and reactions that are connected to something so deep. And that I remember this for myself as well, Allison, where you contrast your life with someone else who seems like, what? I don't have any triggers. And you're like, what is wrong with me? So take it from there, if you would, just about how you start to identify, okay, I'm saved. I know I'm loved, but I've got some things to sort out.
Well, exactly. And I found myself really looking at my fellow believers, and that really started with the adult children book, you know, because at that time I'm having a son who is a heroin addict, and he's going through all of these challenges, and I'm trying to bail him out of jail, and I'm doing all these things to try to fix him, and I'm looking around thinking, gosh, there are no other believers in my church that have drug-addicted kids. I'm clearly the only one, because they're all living these perfect lives, and I finally had to just start speaking up and saying, am I really the only one? Am I really by myself? And when I started speaking like that, I soon found out that there were a lot of parents who were dealing with these challenges with their adult kids. So a key point in this, Susie, is that we've got to start talking about this.
Yeah.
The pain that we're experiencing, whether it's with a persistent negative thought, whether it's a painful memory we can't get rid of, whether there's been a traumatic life experience. There's a lot of traumatic life experiences people have that they just think that they're over, and yet they aren't. So that, the A, I've got the six steps to sanity we'll probably talk about later. The A is assemble supportive people. So we need to get other people around us, whether it's one person. My first was a counselor. I sought out a Christian counselor. And there, you can see them. There's people will say they can't afford it. There's sliding scales. God will make a way. If you're having, persistent thoughts or there's things that are just making your life horrible to live, we've got to start talking about it. So that is the first step, was talking about it, was getting the help to it's hard to be objective, Susie. It's very hard to be objective when we're caught up in negative thoughts and painful memories. Mm-hmm. we're so caught up in it or judging ourselves by how we think we're supposed to be behaving, now, especially now that we're believers, a lot of folks would say, you just get over it, How can something that happened years ago still affect you now? Shouldn't you just, get over it, move on? That would be nice if life worked that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Right. Well, let's look at this acronym, SANITY. So I would love, I'm just going to read them and have you just kind of give a short synopsis of each, and we'll kind of dig a little bit deeper then as we go. But just the SANITY acronym, I'm going to read them quickly, and then we'll go through them a little bit more. Stop hoarding your hurts. Assemble supportive people. Nip excuses in the bud. Implement a plan of action. Trust the voice of the Spirit and yield everything to God. So say a word, if you would, about stop hoarding your hurts, what that looks like and what it looks like to stop doing that.
Yeah, see, the stop step is the most important thing. If we don't stop our typical responses and our typical behavior, nothing is going to change. We've got to stop that gerbil wheel that we're running on. So it really means, stop ignoring these issues. Stop responding. We tend to respond the same way to triggers that happen to us, and we've got to stop that typical response that we have. So whatever that takes, whether it's a rubber band on your wrist, whether it's Post-it notes all over your house, whether it's asking a friend to hold you accountable, we've got to stop how we typically respond to things. We have to stop, step back, and be still. Our ability to focus and make smart choices increases dramatically, when we can learn how to respond rationally instead of emotionally to things. Mm. And people that have boundary challenges, we tend to respond emotionally because we're caught up. There's a lot more going on there. So we've got to be able to stop and step back and respond rationally. So stop was key for me. Way back at the first book, I had to stop bailing my son out. I had to stop writing checks. I had to stop pulling out the checkbook. I had to, I had to stop a lot of things. And this was, it stopped hoarding your hurts. When I would start feeling bad about, how I was relating to somebody or about, I have a real hard time forgiving people. I will hold a grudge, and that's so not Christian, and I beat myself up about it. So I say, I've got to stop this. I've got to stop being judgmental about what this person may have done to me. And then I've got to step back and say, God's forgiven me. Look what he's done in my life. And how can I not forgive somebody else?
That
look like?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I wonder, Allison, if that when someone does hurt you, though, I mean, if it connects on such a deeper level to the many facets of betrayal or rejection that you have walked through. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's been a repeat message the enemy has gone after in you. So I just wonder if any kind of thing reminiscent of that is just so connected and almost activates that hurt on a deeper level. I mean, I'm just wondering. It's a layman's observation, but you can see why.
No, it is. Trigger too. Mm-hmm. It's a trigger. Something that I'll see, or something it's said, or something that I remember. And this is how a lot of us are. We don't even realize those triggers unless we stop, and get more in touch with ourselves. See, a lot of the boundary issues are we're projecting all this out on somebody else. It's somebody else that's doing it to us, or it's a bad memory, or it's something that somebody else did, or it's, you know, it's, we've got to just shine that light on us. Say, okay, if I'm feeling bad all of a sudden, or I'm really angry, or I'm isolating myself, what really is going on? It's really shining that light and praying that God will help, you know, us make that introspective, you know, searching that we need to do, to search our own heart and really look, what is it? And you can't do that if you're continually caught up on that gerbil wheel of running and escaping and isolating or whatever it might be. It's all different, whether we you know, go to, you know, drugs or alcohol or relationships or, you know, isolation, whatever it may be. We've got to stop the typical response, and that takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness, and it's hard to have that, you know, without the Lord helping us, without looking at it through the filter of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, that's we can never underestimate that faith factor in making changes in our life. And when negative thoughts and painful memories are involved, there's a lot of digging we have to do, and that faith focus will help us get there, but not unless we stop our typical patterns of behavior.
And how important, you know, to diagnose, that's not the good word, identify what the triggers are, like get a name for them. When I'm thinking about something that happened in high school, I was always associated with a popular group because I was athletic and a cheerleader, but never a legitimate member of the group. And the center girl always seemed to make sure I was on the outside of the circle, different things that she would do that kind of inched me out, so I'd be standing on the outside. And so I realized into my adult years how often when someone would purposely exclude, it would trigger that deep, deep thing. And once the Lord identified it, then I could spot it. And I would just say, Lord, whisper to me when that's triggering something so I can replace it with the truth right away and not emotionally react. And I just think that blows the enemy's cover. And so if we can dare to say, show me what my triggers are, give me a name for them and the memory they're connected to, so I'm better able to spot when something connects with it, you know?
Absolutely. Amen. That you could do that. And a lot of us can't until we get some help. And that's what, you know, therapy, books, reading, the Bible. I mean, I read everything I could on boundary issues and violated boundaries. When our boundaries have been violated, and what you explain is a violation of a boundary. I mean, when they put you on the outside and kind of made you or tried to make you feel less than, or, you know, and we carry that, you know, with us. And we've got to be able to identify it. And that's sometimes not possible by ourselves.
Right. Oh,
now,
no.
There are,
yes.
So getting that, whether that help comes in books, now there's amazing resources. You know, back when I was going through my process of learning from the abuse that I'd gone through, nobody was talking about domestic violence, you know, and I just wanted to not let anybody know what had happened to me. I felt so guilty and ashamed that some, you know, human being could, you know, beat me like that and almost kill me. And I took a counselor to say, Allison, why are you feeling bad about, he was wrong. Mm. And it's like, oh, well, it wasn't what you did to make him. You know, it the whole process. Sometimes you just need somebody to shine that light and tell you some things to discount what we're, you know, what we've bought into, and that negative self-image and that negative, you know, the negativity, that identity, you know, and not having an identity. That's why that faith focus and identity in Christ has been critical. It's critical in life.
And we're going to jump to that in a bit here. We've got a hard break here coming up, but we're walking through Allison's sanity acronym, Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. We've talked a bit about that. When we come back, we'll talk about assembling supportive people. And like she said, oftentimes when there's an emotional trauma, we need a counselor to help sort it through. Nip excuses in the bud. We'll talk about that one. Implement a plan of action. Trust the voice of the Spirit. Yield everything to God. We'll continue on this great conversation talking to Allison Botke, title of her book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories. I'd love to get your name in on the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address. We'll be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. Hope you're having a great one. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Allison Botke. Her newest book is titled Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories, How to Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. It's like at some point drawing a line saying this is not going to stay buried, but it's also not going to consume me forever. I want to find some healing and some restoration. And we've been walking through the acronym that Allison designed for Sanity. And we've talked about Stop Hoarding Your Hurts. We touched on Assemble Supportive People, but we need to pick it up here because I think there's sometimes a negative stigma about seeking out a counselor or a spiritual director or mentor. And I don't know how a person does it without somebody that they can, you know, use as a sounding board and a process with, as well as a tribe of people from church or whatever. So I want you to speak a word about that, because I know you feel that way too. This is an extremely important point.
Yes, yes, it is. And that's right. Let's apply that. Stop going at it alone. Stop being alone in your pain. And, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:9 is great about it. It's two are better off than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. And that is so critical when you're dealing with those deep feelings and pain and anguish. It's important to have people nearby who can lend encouragement by listening, praying, offering godly counsel. Now, it's important to, you know, it's very, very important to have people around that can listen with love and not try to fix you. You know, sometimes, you know, we tend to have these patterns in our relationships. You know, it's not about getting somebody who's going to believe and be a yes man to you, you know, and say, oh, yeah, I really feel sorry for you. It's really about getting somebody that will help you be objective, that will help lift you up, that will help you see some different truths that you might not be looking at. So that I have a word of caution. Make sure that support person or team, you know, shares your Christian values.
And I got to jump in there, Allison. There's a famous dead guy. I wish I could remember which one, but he said, destructive is the pity of a fool. And boy, that's a packed statement. But you think about how bad it is for you to have the pity of someone who's just wanting in on your good graces, or they just want to sing your praise. It's not what you need at the moment. So, boy, keep going.
Exactly. So that is key. So, you know, if you're receiving advice from somebody who really doesn't understand your specific issues, you've got to be aware of that, you know, or who isn't aware of your psychological, emotional, or the physical consequences of what they're saying. This can sometimes lead to more suffering. And this is where, you know, in Christendom, a lot of this has happened, is that we talk to people that either try to give us advice that we follow, and it's not, you know, some of the best advice, or we're vulnerable, you know, because it's a very vulnerable position to be in when you start to admit that you've got problems and you've got challenges, and when we talk about emotional and mental challenges like this, painful memories and all this, you know, a lot of this is tied into, you know, mental health conditions. Okay, we hate to look at that, but that we're talking about, you know, anxiety, PTSD, mood disorders, depression, you know, bipolar. There's a lot of things going on in brains that are, you know, that are challenged with negative thoughts and painful memories. So it really is wise to find someone of good counsel that's reputable and that follows your same faith. And that's just a critical part of healing, and to be able, you know, if you do have a bad experience with that, to move on, you know, and pray for wisdom and discernment that God will lead you to the right person. Fortunately, there's a lot of organizations out there now. There, you know, and our online, although we have to be careful online, you know, what you're sharing, but there's a lot of places you go to find support groups. There's online support groups. There's codependency groups. There's, you know, AA groups, NA. There's so much. There's so many resources that we can reach out and find. It's just stopping long enough to do that and trusting that God's going to lead us there and nipping the excuses in the bud, moving on to, why we don't do this. Mm-hmm. Why don't? I mean, you know, I say excuses are often justification for negative behavior. I say, you know, they nurse our emotional pain and they keep us in bondage. We've just got to resist accepting excuses from ourselves or others. You know, this came into play with my son on the first book. You know, there was always an excuse why I had to, you know, bail him out and pay for this and do that. And finally I said, no more excuses of his. And then I had to look at myself, too. Why was I making excuses? I had to bail him out of jail, because if I didn't, he would end up staying in jail. And it was like, well, you know what? He did something wrong. You know, he's not in jail because I didn't bail him out. He's in jail because of something he did. There's a consequence to his action. And I kept stepping in and stopping those consequences. And for all these his reasons that were my reasons and weren't helping him. So when it comes to negative thoughts and painful memories, you know, we've got to nip our own excuses in the bud. You know, why? A big excuse is, well, I'm a Christian now, and I shouldn't even be thinking this way. And you know, God's, you know, I've got God on my side. I just have to get over it. You know, and that is so not true. Yes, we've got God on our side. He wants us to get over it, but it may take a little bit more of a process for you.
Sometimes it has to get messier before it gets, you know, gets harder before it gets better.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so how's your son doing? I mean, how did it change
drug
for
free,
you?
Drug free.
Wow.
10 years he's been drug free. Now we still have our relationship is still, you know, kind of testy. It's challenging in life, you know, when you've gone through this much. But the fact that he's, you know, not on heroin anymore and is not in jail and is a free man and is a believer. He's a believer, and it's so there's a lot of positive that has happened, and it's. But it's been quite a journey for the two of us to go through to learn how to communicate, you know, in relationship, interpersonal relationships when we have boundary issues are hard, but restoration is possible.
Well, here's some of the questions you ask to identify if we are not nipping those excuses in the bud. You said one of them is this excuse keeping me in denial about a traumatic event or painful memory that I don't want to but should face? And so maybe your excuse is you drink every night, not a lot, but just a little, and you just think, you know, I actually don't want to feel. Or maybe your excuse is you shop a lot. Or maybe your excuse is you are overcommitted, busy, because you don't want to slow down because you're afraid of what you might feel. What other ways would this apply, Allison?
I think a lot of that is that I'm making excuses because I'm afraid to face my own emotions. I'm really afraid to look at what it is that's really underneath all this. What fear, what pain, what anger, being able to deal and confront those deep emotions. But once we do confront, this is what is amazing. It sounds so simple, but once you take, you know, you pull that curtain back and you can actually see that, you know, the Wizard of Oz behind it and realize who he really is, you know, it takes away, this level of enormous pain, and it really says, okay, this really is the truth. This is really what's behind that curtain. This is really what's underlying this. It's an anger that I have, you know, at daddy issues. Or it's an anger I have at an ex-husband, or I'm mad at the church, or I'm mad at whoever, you know. But what the anger, what the guilt is, a lot of it's guilt. You know, a lot of us are, you know, guilt's a primary motivator for a lot of us, unfortunately. You know, so it really is just getting underneath it all, and that's. I keep saying that, and it sounds like it's so easy. It's not easy, but you can do it.
Yes,
if we
indeed.
Stop long enough, get supportive people, decide we're going to not take any more excuses, and then implement a plan of action, actually decide to do something.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
It's hard. We've stopped. We've got somebody, you know, that's supportive that we can talk to. We're saying, okay, I'm not going to buy this excuse anymore. Now what do? I actually have to do something. I have to do something different. We have to know where we're at to know where we're headed, you know, so we can make positive choices to get there, if that makes any sense. You know, where am I at? I'm at a place of brokenness and hurt, but I could get on to this. This is what I need to do to get on with this. And I'm going to, the next time this negative thought comes up, I'm going to stop that trigger, and I'm going to replace it with a positive thought. I'm going to replace it with scripture. You know, the next time I'm feeling where I have no identity, or I'm feeling useless, or I'm feeling, you know, unloved, I'm going to look at my identity as someone who's chosen by God, as somebody adopted by God, as a child of God. I'm going to replace that negative thought with something. So that's a really key thing. I went through a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a therapy process of replacing negative thoughts with something positive. You know, and as easy as that sounds, it's not, but you can do it. It's a repetitive thing. We have to learn new habits. So that implementing a plan, you know, when I started to feel this way about something, I had to do this. Whatever that this is, it's all going to be different for each one of us. You know, if it's calling somebody, if it's, you know, if it's drinking, you know, it's like, okay, I've got to go to a meeting then. I've got to find somebody to help me not take that drink. Or if it's drugs, whatever. We've got to replace these typical responses with something different. And that plan, and that's different for everybody. So if we can develop that kind of plan and take it in baby steps for whatever it may be, I have a friend who's a screamer. I think we probably all know screamers. You know, they just yell at, they raise their voice and they just yell at everybody. I don't like this. I don't want that. And they go on and on, and you just kind of get caught up in their, you know, their tornado. Well, when she raises her voice now, there's a trigger that she's got. That she cannot, she's not being helpful. She's got to stop raising her voice. She can still feel what she's feeling, you know. She can still try to process it, but yelling is not an option. So she's just got, you know, a trigger for herself to stop that. And she's asked friends around her, this is where that assemble is, to please give her a timeout sign when she starts to scream. You know, so that takes a level of, you know, trust amongst your friends. And you know, but she's learning and changing, and that's what we have to do, and develop some kind of plan for what it is that we want to fix, and pray for wisdom and discernment that we can do that.
Yeah. So, Allison, for you, when you were doing the cognitive therapy, what were some of the truths that were your best anchors? Because I would imagine that rejection, betrayal, fear, insecurity, the things that you wrestled through are things that many, many people wrestle through. I'm thinking what you learned may be very helpful for somebody today.
Well, I grew up horribly afraid of the dark. You know, when I was as a toddler, you know, when I was abused, I was in a foster home for just a brief few months as a toddler. When they found me, I'd been beaten, abused, sexually violated. I was catatonic for a year after that. I buried a lot of that, but I came out of that with a horrible fear of the dark. They found me locked under a closet in the dark when the police and the authorities found me as a toddler. So I grew up fearful of the dark, and it was a horrible, I mean, it wasn't just a little fear. It was catatonic fear. If lights went out, you know, and I didn't know why. I didn't know why I was feeling this. You know, my mom did what a lot of parents do. If you don't talk about something, it'll go away. You know, if we try to fill things with, you know, niceness and fun, the bad stuff will go away. So I never knew. I just knew that dark was hard for me. And, you know, as an adult, that became debilitating because I couldn't go out after, you know, in dark. If I was in my car and it started to get sunset, I got palpitations. I would get, you know, almost like PTSD. I did everything to be around lights, you know, and I thought, so for me, I had to start that and realize why I was having that feeling, and that I was going to be safe. I was okay. That nothing was going to happen to me when it got dark. But it was a process of you know, leaving lights on, trying to, you know, repeat these mantras of, you know, God is with me. He's going to protect me. This dark is just it happened years ago. It's not happening now. And I had dialogue in, you know, my own head over and over and over. And eventually, the fear dissipated, but it took a lot of years. And for all of us, it's different. But that's just one part of it for me was the fear of the dark. But it's, you know, when someone doesn't respond in a timely manner, here's a great one: email. We email. We want things to happen immediately. If somebody doesn't respond back, I start to immediately think, oh my gosh, they don't like me. I've said something wrong. I've done something wrong. What's the matter? And I've got to stop and check myself and say, Allison, get real. You know, seriously, you know, they haven't responded in 20 minutes. They do not hate you. It really is it's an awareness level of what are our triggers? What are they? And what can I do that's different? And I keep coming back to this, praying to that filter of faith. You know, God, open my eyes to what really is going on here. Help me see this. You know, help me, you know, grab a Bible and start reading a scripture. Do whatever it takes to break that cycle of how you're that you know that, and we know what's happening too. We know when there's something negative in our life, you know, or a painful memory. You know, you'll get sweaty. You'll get anxious or for repeating the same behavior. You know, if we're in continually bad relationships one after another, or we can't keep a job, or if there's repetitive things happening, you know, chances are there's repetitive responses we're making that we have to. Listen to that leads us into that T, trust the voice of the Spirit.
Well, let's pause here, Allison. Sorry, we have our last break, so we'll get to trust the voice of the Spirit and yield everything to God on the other side. But I think a point that it's really evident here for all of us is we've got to work at our recovery. You know, when Jesus asked the man on the mat, do you want to be well? And his first words were, I can't. And that tends to be our first response, whether we know it or not. But what if we start to partner with God? to untangle some of this stuff, we would see a flourishing. We would see God restore us in ways we never thought possible. When we come back, we'll talk about what it means to trust the voice of the Spirit, how to yield everything to God, how to believe that freedom and wholeness is possible. Allison Bakke's book is Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Allison Bakke today about her book, Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories. And if you listen often enough, you know that just a challenge and an inspiration that we hope that we're able to convey on Live the Promise is for you to make time and space for your walk with the Lord, for your health, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I mean, you know, when you fly and they say to put your own oxygen mask on first before even assisting your children, we show up best in life when we are bringing our best selves. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus wants us to have life and life abundantly. And so it matters that we give some time to some of those past hurts. When they surface, make some space to get with God, to get with mentors and other people and untangle this stuff, because Jesus is good and he wants to set you free. And Allison, we've been walking through your acronym, SANITY, and I'm just going to reset those for those who just tuned in. S is stop hoarding your hurts. A is assemble supportive people. N is nip excuses in the bud. I is implement a plan of action. Now we're on T, trust the voice of the Spirit. Say more if you would.
Well, and this is so critical. That whole essence of finding sanity is really in the intentional development of our faith. We're talking about making serious changes, you know, and what steps to take or not take. You know, we've got to be certain those steps are in accord with God's plan and not our own. So, God can lead or restrain us in decision-making process. You know, Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So, you know, I had to get into Scripture a lot about this. What does this mean to make my path straight? And it's about letting the Spirit live with us and within us. And what we're really talking about, like you said, is taking the time to help yourself. And it's discipline. We're talking about discipline, to really stop and step back and nip the excuses. We say, oh, I don't have time to deal with myself, or it's selfish, or I'm not worthy, you know, and which is so not true. We've got to take that time and spend time listening to God and stopping and stepping back to hear him, you know, not just jumping forward in our own volition. So, you know, it really is a dialogue with God, listening for his guidance and then following it. And it's a practice. It's a spiritual, you know, intuition that becomes more natural as we understand God's truth, as it's revealed in his word. Because, you know, we've got to get into the word. What does he say about this? What does he say about my worthiness? What is he saying about my identity? What's he saying about my heart? You know, what I find with a lot of Christians, men and women, we say, well, we've got too much to do. We've got work. We've got responsibilities. We've got family. We've got all these things. Well, you know, we also have our own heart that God has been very clear about. You know, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So if we don't get our heart in that right place and healed and out of that brokenness, we are never going to be any real good to anyone, ourselves or anybody around us. So that trusting the voice of the Spirit is critical, and learning, you know, to stop, step back, and follow him and not our own course.
Yeah, I love this. You said, yeah, the goal of sanity is to help protect and nurture our hearts. So before we get to the why in the acronym, Yield Everything to God, I want you to say a word about both of those initiatives, to protect our hearts and to nurture our hearts.
Absolutely critical. And we have put that on so much of the back burner.
Yeah.
And a lot of, and I keep coming back to Christendom. I don't want to be so hard on Christendom. I love the Lord. I love being a Christian. But there's so much of this perceived notions about how perfect we're supposed to be once we become, you know, one with the Lord here. And this is, it doesn't quite work that way. So we really do, you know, there's brokenness and pain, and we have to deal with that and ask the Lord to help us get through that and protect our hearts. There's nothing selfish about it. There's nothing that's, you know, but we've gotten so caught up in the drama, chaos, and crisis in other people's lives around us. which is not to say, you know, our families and friends and work isn't important. They are, but it's in the proper perspective. You know, we become really good at ignoring ourselves because either it's selfish or because we just truly don't feel worthy. We don't feel, but that's where all the scripture that comes back to our identity will be so helpful. Mm-hmm. There's power in our identity, you know, the peace of identity. You know, it's really looking at what God-given value we have. And because we have that new life in Christ, what are we? You know, we are redeemed, we're washed, we're purified, we're justified. There's so many scriptures that will help build us up and help heal our hearts so then we can actually be of goodness and help and mercy to others that we care about. But, you know, it may be that we've got to stop. That's why that stop is so important. Stop, get help from somebody else, quit excusing, you know, making all these excuses why there's no time for you to fix yourself, because that's really what God wants. He wants us to be whole, healed, and healthy. And then we can become the salt and light that he wants us to be.
Very good. Yep. Well, say a word, if you would, with the why in the word sanity. Yield everything to God.
Critical. You know, the healing of a heart that's broken by traumatic events or violated boundaries or relationship abuse, it can take a really long time. You know, and I know when we yield ourselves to God, he heals and restores. And this yield doesn't mean you throw up your hands and say, you know what, I'm not doing anything. God, you just handle it. You know, God will handle a lot, but he also wants us to be active in our healing and in our lives and in our relationship with him and in healing our hearts. So that yield is truly a freedom that we experience, and we let go and we let God, you know, help us carry that burden. And that whole process is, it's a discipline. It's reading our Bible, it's reading scripture, it's applying it into life. It's a search. It's a, you know, true peace and sanity is only possible, you know, when we release these unrealistic expectations we have, and, you know, these negative emotions and the lies of the enemy. There's so much that's in there that we don't even realize is fueling us. But when we yield to God and I say, Lord, lead me then to the scripture that I need to help me see what I need to change. Direct me to someone who can help me. You know, open a door for a counselor. Help me see what excuses I keep making for myself. Help me, you know, be clear with a plan of action. What is the first thing I really need to approach, Lord? You know, help me with this. And then follow that. Stop. Here's that S. Stop and step back and listen. Take the time to listen. You know, and if you don't feel really, you know, compelled that God, it's really God's voice, then don't do whatever it is you're in the natural you think you're supposed to be doing. You know, wait to hear, you know, and then that discipline, you know, if we wait to listen to the Lord, he does talk to us, but we, you know, we're just so on that fast track of figuring out, okay, I got this and this, Lord, I've asked for this, but, you know, it didn't happen overnight, so the next day I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. So and there's patterns we have to break, and yielding to God is a discipline of trusting him, trusting his voice, and trusting that he's going to open the doors.
Wow, this appreciate so much, Allison, all that you've worked through. As we get ready to pray here, one of the foundational truths you say we need to spend our lives exploring is to be loved and loved, to love and be loved by God. And I'm thinking that person who needs a lot of healing and knows it as they're listening, would you pray that they would get a fresh revelation of God's love?
Yes, Father God, you know, for many of us, we love you with all our hearts. So, Lord, it's hard to get out of our own way. So help us get out of our own way. Help us see what it is that you would have us do first, and just give us that direction. Open the door for us to assemble a supportive person. Show me somebody that I can go to and talk to this person. Help me get out of this rut, Father God. I know you can. So I don't doubt that. Just help me get out of my own way. Help me learn what it means to yield everything to you, Lord, and trust you, because your love is awesome, and you love me and care for me. So, Father, I just lift up everyone that's listening right now that has a negative or painful memory, that you can replace that, that your word and your love can replace this and give us that true peace and sanity. Father God, we just love you. Amen.
Amen. Well, Allison, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the wisdom God's really mined in your hard places. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susie, and bless you and your outreach here. You're doing great things for God as well. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Title of her book, again, is Setting Boundaries with Negative Thoughts and Painful Memories. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. This is true, my friend. God has more for you. So stop, pause, open your hands, stop striving, and know that He is God, right? You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. For listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.